Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Luke 9, you get there, say amen. Verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. Read out loud with me, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Glory to God. Glory. Holy Spirit is just speaking to me. Now watch chapter 10, verse 1. Wait a minute. What all that turning going on? Just one chapter. Y'all a real large print. You got like one paragraph on a page. We're in chapter 9 reading. I said chapter 10. And when y'all were doing this right here, just steady turning. Well, there's chapter 10. If I'd done that, I'd have been past the book of Revelation. All right, verse 1, Luke 10. After these things, read with me. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revelation knowledge given by your spirit. And we acknowledge that only by your spirit can we have an ear to hear. That only by your spirit can our eyes see and our ears hear and our heart receive things that you have laid up for us, only by your spirit. So we welcome the ministry of your spirit in this atmosphere. Oh, hallelujah. We welcome the double portion, your anointing, your burden removing, yoke destroying power. You said you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses of me. We thank you for sending us your spirit, the double portion, the same anointing that Christ walked in. We thank you that Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of your word manifesting in our lives. Just as your spirit moved on creation dawn and manifested the words you spoke when you said, let there be light. I thank you that your spirit right now is in this place, in your people, waiting on a word that you can move to manifest in our lives. I thank you for the ignition, for the igniting, for the manifestation of the supernatural that will come as a result of your spirit and your word in harmony with a surrendered soul and willing mind. Oh, glory to God. As we yield our minds to his word and his spirit, he will manifest himself in our lives in a way that only he can get the glory for. And Father, we thank you for that. God, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice, that you would bless their hearing, that we would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding. Speak through me, Father, words that you would have spoken. Override my premeditated thought, Lord. Order my steps in your word. May your spirit speak by me. May your word be on my tongue. Make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and the minds, the souls of these your people, your anointed word, removing their burdens, destroying their yokes, equipping them to be the 70, as we boldly declare that Satan is defeated. We are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and you may be seated. We read before the prayer in the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. I want to go back and look at this. We're going to look again at Luke 9 and 10, and then we're going to get into some more of this campaign that has become the vision of this ministry. This coming Sunday, you're going to find a board located outside these main doors here. And it's going to be a board that you're going to go put the name, the first name of someone you want to see saved and made free. You're going to put their name on that board. And we as a church are going to pass by that board every single service time. And we're going to stretch our hands in faith. And we've got some 70 stickers that when they get saved and you see them in salvation, whether that's here, there, or yonder, you're going to go back and you're going to put that red 70 sticker right over the top of their name, and we're going to eventually see that wall turn red. It'll start off in a different color, but it's going to turn red as we believe God to win every soul that the Lord lays on our heart. We're about to get real about bringing souls into the kingdom. Hallelujah. We got this massive banner we're getting ready to hang over the exit doors that say called, equipped, and sent, because when you walk out of the doors of this campus, I want you to remember that you've been called, you've been equipped, and now you have been sent, and you're going into the mission field, wherever that is, and it's wherever your feet land, amen? Let's look again at Luke 9, and I want you to notice in verse 1, the calling, the equipping, and the sending. Then he called, if you're one that writes in your Bible, do something with that word called, underline it, highlight it. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. Gave them power and authority. Everybody say equipped. So he called them, then he equipped them, and then verse 2 says, and he sent them to preach. And he sent them to preach. So we see it there that they were called, equipped, and sent. Say it out loud. They were called, equipped, and sent. But they got no results. They came back. They didn't accomplish what he sent them to do, and the next 60 verses make that clear. They got in debates about who was the best and who's the greatest in the kingdom, and they wanted to call down fire and destroy people, and they got mad because somebody else was doing what they should have been doing, so they tried to put a stop to that. It was all wrong. And so in chapter 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Also means the other 70 were given the same calling, equipping, and sending as the 12 were. Because in Luke 10, you don't actually see him say that he gave them power and equipped them, but it says he called and appointed other 70 also, and that word also would insinuate that he equipped them just as he had the 12. And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. That means they are representatives. They are going in his stead. They are going in his name. They are going in his place. I like to call a representative a re-presenter. You cannot present Jesus when Jesus has not been presented to you. How can you represent when he was never presented? You cannot represent truth until truth has been presented to you. You cannot present love until love has been presented to you. You cannot present wisdom until wisdom has been presented to you. You cannot present Jesus to anybody if he's not been presented to you. To be a representative, I am representing what's been revealed to me. Jesus was sending them out as representatives. And what this world needs right now and what it is longing for, the city of Shreveport, the streets of Shreveport, neighborhoods and communities and beyond this area and wherever you're watching this live feed, this world is screaming for someone to represent who Jesus really is. Not some religious organization, the first church of the frozen chosen. No, we don't need folk that have locked themselves up inside their four walls and think that's church. No, we need people that understand ministry takes place in the street. Ministry takes place door to door. Ministry takes place from community to community, house to house, person to person, on your job, at Chevron, at Circle K, at Walmart, at the soccer field, outside. Ministry happens everywhere you go. Ministry does not end when you get to a place you call church, because everybody at church is not saved. There are some folk here that need to be one to Jesus, and you don't even realize they came right with you. They walked up the parking lot with you, and you didn't even speak, and they're looking for a reason not to even walk in the door. But you thought everybody that came to church was saved. But everybody that comes to church is not saved. Some are here seeking. Some are here thirsty. Some are here longing. They've not gotten the answer yet. And you know what? I may not be the one that gives it to them. It may be you, because you are the 70. The mission field is everywhere you go. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You are the 70. He sent them to represent him in every house, in every village. Look what he says in verse number 5. Into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. See, they're out doing the work of ministry. They're not waiting inside four walls and saying, well, if they want it, they know where we're at. No, they're taking the love of God and the truth of God and the word of God to the people. And this is what Jesus said about that in verse 16. Watch this. He says, he that heareth you, read it with me. He that heareth you heareth me. And he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Now lay your bookmark here in Luke 10 and come over to John 17. Keep your bookmark there and just turn over with me to John 17. And I want to pull up some things here, because this is a prayer that Jesus prays for every believer right before he goes to the cross. And now watch what he says here regarding every believer that would believe on him. Drop down with me to verse number 16. And when you get there, say amen. Watch this. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, if you go back to verse 15, he said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. I remember early in my salvation, it seemed like every song I ever sung in church was about getting out of here. I'll fly away, oh glory. I had a mansion. I got a mansion just over the hilltop. Every song about getting out of here. But God has a purpose for us here. He don't want you getting up out of here yet. So Jesus said, look, I could easily have you just take them right now with me. He said, but I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world. I had somebody come one time, they said, Pastor, pray for me, I got to get a new job. I said, why? They said, everybody up there is lost. I said, sound me like you're right where you belong. They said, what? I said, yeah. I said, believe this or not, my closet has no windows. This is the darkest room in the house. I said, but thank God there's a light there. I said, if you took the light out of that closet, I couldn't find nothing. I said, maybe if God took you out of that workplace, there'd be no light there. Maybe you're supposed to win somebody there that, so they can be the light, and then you can go somewhere else. So if you're praying for God to move you to a new job, then just ask him to finish the assignment with you on the one you're on. Say, Lord, let me finish my assignment because I really want to get up out of here. So watch this. He said, I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, verse 16, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, separate them, make them different through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me, read verse 18 out loud with me, ready, read. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Notice he said, just like you sent me, I'm sending them. And notice what he says about the them that he's sending. He says, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, these that he sent. He said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And today we are believers because the 70 went out and they reached somebody that reached somebody that reached somebody, and 2,000 years later still reaching somebody. The 70 went and did what they were sent to do, and now we've become the recipients of salvation and the gospel and the Holy Spirit because somebody got that word out for you and I to be able to receive it. And Jesus is saying to the Father, just like you sent me, I'm sending them. The equipment you gave me, I'm equipping them with. See, when Jesus said to the Father, as you sent me, I'm sending them. Well, the Father didn't send Jesus powerless. The Father didn't send Jesus empty. The Father didn't send Jesus to be some, you know, weak individual that couldn't get the job done. Jesus walked in victory over the elements. Jesus walked in victory over every demon. Jesus had the wisdom for every trial. Jesus had the faith for every obstacle. Come on, somebody. Jesus was equipped, and greater was he that was in Jesus than he that was in the world. The devils recognized Jesus. At one point they said, wait a minute, Jesus we know, but who again are you? They recognized him before Peter got the revelation. Jesus was the Christ. You may remember that evil spirits cried out and said, you are the Christ, and Jesus forbade them for speaking, for they knew that he was Christ. The demon knew that he was anointed before Peter knew he was anointed. My point is that the enemy ought to know who you are when folk around you don't even know who you are. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so have I sent you. That means I've got to be equipped. Just as Jesus was equipped. In Acts 11:26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And it wasn't because they got together and decided they would name their church Christians. It was because they were getting the same results as the Christ got. And when people looked at them, they said, man, that's just like that Christ guy. They're saying the same stuff, speaking the same truth, getting the same results, casting out the same devils. They are Christians. It's more than one of them now. Ooh, they're Christians. It's easy to say I am a Christian, but what's more glorious to God is when others look at you and say you're a Christian. Because the first disciples in Acts 11:26 didn't call themselves Christians. Those that saw their ministry called them Christians because they associated their words and their actions with the Christ. And Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is his title. He's Jesus Christ. That means he's Jesus the anointed one. The word anointed, one of its synonyms is sent. He's Jesus the sent one. Equipped. When you've been sent, you've been equipped. When you've been sent, you've been empowered. When he sent the 70 in Luke 10, he said, leave your person on wine. You've been sent. I'm going to meet your every need. I'm going to meet your need mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, because you are sent. When you are sent, you don't go in your own strength. You don't go in your own power. You don't go by your own pocketbook. You don't go by what's in your bank account. When you are sent, you've been equipped. Hallelujah. The word says no man goes off to war at his own cost, but the cost is borne by the one that sent him off to war. When we make our lives about being sent, equipped and sent, it's when we'll lose all anxiety about our lives because we recognize that our lives are far more beyond our own physiological needs, that we are here on an assignment to advance the kingdom of God. We've been equipped by God mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, so that we can be effective as he sends us. Amen. Now, I brought up something that I want to get to. And I want to parallel some things in Luke 9 and Luke 10, and I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We'd never get the names of the 70. But we know who the disciples are. And we even know that in Luke 9, they got in an argument about who was the greatest. The Lord told me this months ago, and I've shared it a couple of times with him. I'll share it again. He said this to me. He said, I can do anything through you you won't take the credit for. I can do anything through you that you won't take the credit for. It means you got to take my name off of it. I got to be willing to take my name off of what God's calling me to do because this is not about me. This is not about my title. This is not about my business card. This is not about me. This is all about Jesus. That's why I believe that the 70 are these unnamed individuals that get great results. And the only thing that we really learn about them in verse 17 is that they understood the power of the name of Jesus. If we're going to be effective in being sent, we've got to lose our identity in Christ. If you find your life, you lose your life. But if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, that's when you find your life. We've got to stop going after our own agenda and go after His. When we bear His cross, when we take His cross and follow Him, that's when the last become the first. But if you make it about you, you discover that the first shall be last. Now go back with me to the Old Testament. I want to go to the book of Numbers. And I want to go to the 11th chapter, Numbers chapter 11. The more I look at Luke 9 and 10, the more I'm beginning to see. And one of the things I've seen most recently is that the 70 represent the Gentiles, the disciples represent the Jews. The disciples represent Israel, the 70 represent the church. Now, God has not forgotten Israel. Read Romans 11. And we are the branches, and Israel is the root. And we can't boast against the root, because the branches don't get life of themselves. They get life of the root. So we recognize that we've been grafted in to Israel, and we get to bear fruit, but it's because of who we've been grafted in. So we love Israel. We pray for Israel. We support Israel. We give Israel the first fruit. We honor Israel because we recognize that's our heritage. Amen. A lot of preachers don't teach that. They don't even read the book. Now, I believe that the disciples represent Israel. They're the foundation. But from that foundation, Jesus created a new group called the 70, and we don't know anything about them. We don't know anything about their names. Why? Because it's not about their heritage. It's not about their name. It's not about their glory. This is all about the glory of the one that called them. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, falling into the heritage of Israel was based on being born by the blood of the covenant, being a descendant from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the New Testament, it's all about being born again by the Spirit. Doesn't matter what you are naturally. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. Doesn't matter if you're white or black. It doesn't matter if you're Hispanic or Asian. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. For we are all Christ by His Spirit. So the 70 represents the church. Church should be made up of a bunch of folk, don't matter where they came from, don't matter what their name is, don't matter what they look like, don't matter what degrees hang on their wall, it doesn't matter what titles they bear. How come you don't call yourself a bishop? Oh, how you call yourself a pastor? Aren't you a bishop? Well, the word bishop and pastor mean the same thing. Really, it's based on preference. If you want the anointing that comes from a pastor, then call me pastor. But don't make me call you, don't make me make you call me pastor. I'd be like, you say, hey, pastor, would you start calling me chef? No, I'm not eating your cooking yet. Let me taste your food and say that's a chef. If you taste this word and it feels like you've been fed the word, then you decide if I'm pastoring you or not. But I'm not going to stop somebody and say, yeah, you call me pastor. Now, sure don't want you to call me reverend, because ain't but one reverend. Reverend is His name. So don't call me reverend. Call me in time for supper, but don't call me reverend. Now, if we want to be the church that doesn't get results, then all we got to do is model Luke 9. But if you want to be the church that gets results, the people that get results, you got to model Luke 10. You know, we still want to debate what's right and what's wrong. We still want to get in our doctrinal arguments. We still want to be able to decide if we want to visit a church by a one-liner. We want to ask one question and then think that satisfies whether or not we're going to go to that church or not. I got time for all them one-liners trying to set me up. Come and see. You come and see. You come and see. And you tell me whether or not you are blessed. I'm not going to answer your one-line trick questions. The guy asked me the other day, he said, do you do funerals? I said, why? Whose funeral? He said, well, mine. I said, yo, you plan on dying? He said, no, but I was going to join your church, but I heard you didn't do funerals, and I don't want to be a member of church. You ain't going to do my funeral. I said, wait a minute. You're more concerned about what's going to be preached at your death than you are what's being preached when you're alive? Don't you have that backwards? He said, well, I ain't never thought about it like that. I said, I might do your funeral, I might not. I don't do funerals. Why everybody gets so caught up? But they don't do funerals, they don't do weddings. People just say that kind of stuff. They don't like big ministry, so they try to find something wrong with us. And they get caught up stuff, don't they? Are you married? Why are you worried about doing a wedding for? You already married. You plan on dying tomorrow? No, what are you worried about the funeral for? I maybe almost untied my shoe right here. Watch this. See, I don't have time for all that. Watch this in Numbers 11. You get there, say amen. I had a guy the other day, beautiful family, beautiful family. I really were, and I hope they're here. I hope you're watching. I know they said to watch telecast, they're watching. And it was the sweetest people, and I enjoyed them. I got to visit with him a little bit, and he said, man, you know, he said, I would come to your church. He said, but you and I differ on something. I said, we do? Because he was telling me how much he loved the broadcast. Now they watch it sometimes late for church, watching our broadcast. And he said, well, you know, I would come to your church, but I differ with you on something. I said, you do? He said, yeah. He said, you don't baptize in the name of Jesus. I said, I don't. I said, I thought you'd never been. He said, I hadn't. I said, how do you know how we baptize? He said, well, you don't baptize in the name of Jesus. I said, actually, I do. I said, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the authority of the name of Jesus. He said, well, I'll be. I said, brother, you've been watching the broadcast. Have you heard anything from the word you didn't agree with? He said, well, no, I can't say that. I said, but you weren't going to come over something that you presumed. His wife's over there grinning. I think she's been wanting to visit. And I said, yeah, he'll come on. Brother, come on, man. Don't let that stuff stop you. Come on. Come on, see for yourself, man. Don't believe what somebody told you. Come see. Come taste and see. All right, now let's get back to this. Numbers 11, 24. The reason I brought all of that up is that churches, and I hate to say this, but they are hurting all over the nation. They're hurting to get people in the doors. The parking lots are growing over with weeds. The buildings are empty because they're becoming irrelevant. Why? Because we became Luke 9. We got in the argument about who got the right doctrine, who's got the right song, who's doing it right, who's doing it right. Oh, we got it right. You got it wrong. Oh, it should be this way. Oh, it should be that way. We got into an argument about ourselves and who had it right, and we made it about man, and we made it about name, and we made it about a denomination, and we made it about titles. And when we did that, the glory of God said, okay, go have your debate. I'm out of here because none of this is about me. And if you did get something done, you would argue about who ought to take the credit. So I'm not going to give my glory where I don't get glory. And what's sad is that our nation in this world is hurting right now, and it's longing for truth, and the ones that are supposed to be speaking the truth are still having arguments about who's got it right. I mean, you got mad because somebody finally, you finally got a visitor and he had a hat on, you got mad. That might be the only thing that man actually owns. Jesus crucified naked, and we worried about what folk are wearing. That's why I, in this series, put on jeans, tennis shoes, and a t-shirt. I'm trying to send a message that it don't matter what you're wearing. It don't matter if you got a suit on, necktie. That junk don't matter. Don't have nothing to do with Jesus. Am I telling you not to put your suit on? No, put it on. I'm wearing one Sunday. Not because it makes me anointed, not because it makes me a better preacher or makes me look like a preacher, because I still don't know what a preacher looks like. How can I walk through a checkout line at a garden center and have the lady at the garden center look at me and my son sitting there, and I'm wearing t-shirt, ball cap, and jeans, and say, are you the pastor of that church? Yeah, well, you don't look like no preacher trying to hide wearing that hat. I'm at the garden center buying dirt. Am I supposed to wear a suit everywhere I go just so I can say preacher? That's what happened to the church.
and wondering why nobody's coming and nobody's getting saved. We brought that religious mess in and made it about man, and folk couldn't get saved in that kind of atmosphere because it was irrelevant.
We became the Holy Spirit instead of letting the Holy Spirit do what only He can do. We tried to convict people instead of letting the Holy Spirit convict people. We tried to convert people instead of letting the Holy Spirit convert the people. We were only supposed to love and tell the truth. We were only supposed to sow the seed and maybe do some watering. We were supposed to let God bring in the harvest, but we decided we would be God. And God said, I can't touch that. I can't be involved with that. We can't be Luke 9. We've got to be Luke 10. In Luke 9, they got mad at other folk that were casting out devils. They said, Lord, you ain't going to believe this. There are other people casting out devils. And if I'd been Jesus, I'd say, yeah, doing what you didn't do. Because you couldn't heal the man's son who had the devil. They had to bring him to me when I gave you the power. And now you're getting mad about what they're doing. At least they're getting results. And Jesus said, no, quit trying to stop them. Oh, man, I'm all fired up. Can I fix my shoe? It's bothering me. All right. No. Numbers 11, verse 24. Everybody there? Woo! Well, y'all on fire. When y'all start wooing like that, man, I know. I'm like, oh, man. Now watch this. Let's go to verse, back up verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee. Or not. Whew. I'm about to get fired up in here. All that I didn't know was going to happen. Now we're getting where I knew I was going to be. Verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered, read it with me, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. Oh, we got to stop right there and make sure we're catching up with this. The Lord came to Moses. I love how the Lord talks about himself. Yeah. The Lord said to Moses, he said, is the Lord's hand waxed short? What does that mean? I mean, it ain't nothing out of my reach. I had somebody the other day ask me for some help and ask me for some counsel, and I've been trying to help this individual because I love him, and I want to see breakthrough, and this is what I said, and the Holy Spirit gave it to me, and I said, it's out of your reach. I said, it's out of my reach. You got to give it over to the Lord because there ain't nothing out of his reach, and there is no one out of his reach. Listen, he said, is my hand waxed short? Huh? Is it out of my reach? He said, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And then he tells Moses, go get me 70. See, the New Testament is not the only time this happened. I love how the New Testament always mirrors the Old Testament. That the Old Testament, listen to this, the Old Testament is Jesus concealed, but the New Testament is Jesus revealed. Glory be unto God. It's hidden in the Old Testament, but it's revealed to you in the New. So Jesus calling this 70 was not new to him, because the Lord, that was Jesus that came to Moses and said, hey, is my arm short that I can't reach? You're about to see that I always have what I say. Now go get me 70 men. Woo! So he went and got these 70 men because God was getting ready to do something that had to do with his word.
And I believe what God is doing in Shreveport and beyond is he is gathering him 70 to prove to a people that his hand is not short and that it cannot save. Don't blame God on a failed church. He ain't done yet. It ain't over yet. All America going to hell in a handbasket. No, it ain't. I ain't gave up yet. Because I remember that before God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, he wouldn't do it till Lot got out. And even Abraham thought it would take a whole lot for God to hold back that judgment. And he said, God, if I find 100 right men, will you save it? God said, go find me that 100, Abraham. He came back and said, Lord, how about 80? I know I got the numbers off, but it's good preaching. He came back and said, Lord, how about 50? Go help yourself, Abraham. I'll save them for 50. He came back and said, Lord, I'm having a hard time here. Can we make that number 25? God said, help yourself. Came back and said, Lord, 10. And all he ended up with was a backslidden Lot that didn't even want to come off the bar stool. Wait a minute. One more drink. And he went back and he said, God, all I got is Lot. Lot in his house. But God had already promised to bless Lot because of his connection with Abraham. And so God said, I save Sodom even for Lot. So you get Lot out of there and then I'll judge him. And so Abraham went after Lot and pulled Lot out. But the point is God would not bring his judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah as long as there was still one righteous man. Listen, the church still exists in these United States of America. It ain't over yet. All we got to do is rise up and let our voices be heard. Rise up. People are rioting. People are marching. People are desperate. They want an answer. They think they want a king. Obama let them down. They hate Trump. They don't know there's no man in no house that can bring what they need. We have to go tell them it's not the Republican Party. It's not the Democratic Party. It's not the Independents. No, his name is Jesus. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. He didn't say if all people. He said if my people. We got to get the people of God on assignment. Because the people are mad and they are fighting and they are broken and anger is always a second emotion. Anger comes after bitterness. Bitterness comes after offense. Offense is when my expectation wasn't met. And our nation is expecting things from Washington that Washington is never going to give them because Washington was not equipped. Oh, my God. I tell people, look, you can't win this battle politically. It's got to be won spiritually. Win these people to Jesus. Put people in power that know Jesus, that know truth. But people are not going to put people in power that know Jesus until they know Jesus. Because people won't empower people that represent them. So the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to show you my word won't fail. Go get me 70. So he went and got 70. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Watch what happened in verse 25.
And the Lord came down in a cloud. Woo! If you research the Old Testament, oh my, oh man. Hey! I'm about to have to take me a water break. I am fired up in here. Listen to this. Anytime you see the cloud show up, that means God got off his seat. Y'all better hang on what I'm getting ready to say. See, they had built him a tabernacle that had a mercy seat, that he would commune from that tabernacle. But every time he dealt with Moses outside of his temple, whether in heaven or in earth, he would show up in a cloud to cover his glory. So every time you see the cloud, say this: God is moving. That's the only way he could get around in a cloud, because no man can see him and live. So when he was moving, he summoned his cloud. So when this, when the 70 got on their post, God got in his cloud. Why? Watch this. Is my arm waxed short that I can't reach over there? I'm going to show you my word is good. Give me 70. Why? Because he's about to use the 70 to go to places where he himself would come. And so he showed up in a cloud. Because when the 70 got summoned, he said, okay, we ready to move now. I believe there's a cloud coming to this ministry. I believe there's a cloud coming over this city. I believe there's a cloud coming over your home. I believe there is a cloud that is moving. God's glory is getting ready to manifest when the 70 do what they're supposed to be doing. So watch verse 25, because you got to see it. Look at, we ain't done yet. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him. Oh, here we go. Here comes the double portion. It's so good, it's like I want to savor this moment. It's like a good dessert, can't eat it too fast. One time my wife had some good dessert, and I went to the refrigerator and got me some milk, and I got a little bit of milk. And she said, that's all the milk you're going to get? I said, no. I'm going to eat this so slow, I got to keep the milk cool. So I'm going to pour milk in segments. That's deep. I ate a little bit, milk got down, we got me some fresh, it stayed cold that way, see. I like cold milk with my dessert. My daddy used to put ice in his milk. I said, oh, no, I don't melted ice milk. Water your milk down. All right, let's get back to this. I'm savoring right now. Here we go, I'm savoring, here we go. The Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the Spirit. Do you see this? And took of the Spirit that was upon him, the Spirit that was on Moses, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, the Spirit that was upon Jesus. Here we go. Read it. And gave it unto the 70 elders. Did you see that? He said, Moses, I'm not limited. You wondering how you're going to get all this done. Moses, you ain't the only one I'm going to use. My word will come through you. You'll be the avenue I'll get my word out. But I'm going to pour my Spirit out without measure. Give me 70. Moses went and gathered 70. God said, Moses, same anointing I put on you, I'm going to put on them. You've just multiplied yourself 70 times over. Jesus empowered the disciples that came back with no results. Jesus had places to get to. He said, give me 70. And I'm going to take the same anointing that's on me, and I'm going to put it on him. The same anointing that the Father gave me, I'm going to give them so they can go out and do what I would do if I were there.
My arm's not shortened that I can't get to Samaria. My arm's not shortened that I can't get to Stonewall. My arm's not short that it can't get to Jackson, Mississippi. My arm's not so short that it can't get to Granby, Colorado. My arm's not so short that it can't get to wherever your mama is or your daddy is or wherever you believe in God to move. He said, I'm not short. Just give me 70. I'll extend and expand myself through mature men and women who are filled with my spirit and know it's about me and live it and do it about me and not unto themselves. And I will do things to prove that my word will not return void. So he took of the same spirit and gave it to the 70. Isn't that beautiful how that what happened in the Old Testament happened in the New Testament? Oh, we still ain't done. Watch this. And, I'm in verse 25. It came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Let me translate that into Hebrew. They spoke the word of God and would not shut up. When the Spirit came on them, they prophesied, and they did not cease. I got two more verses to read, and we're going to be done. It won't take me but a minute. Go with me to 1 Samuel. This won't take but a minute. It's an old Ryan. I'll try to beat everybody out the parking lot. I'm going to get you out of here in just a minute. Watch this in 1 Samuel 10, and then we're going to go to Acts. It won't take but a minute. It's going to all come to home right here. This is the double portion. Can you see that was the double portion? If you were here last week, you heard the message on double portion. That's the double portion. God had already anointed Moses. Moses was looking all, if you go back and read Numbers, Moses was looking all at the numbers of people and all it was going to take. And God said, look, I'm not worried about the numbers. My hand's not short. Give me 70. Took the same anointing on Moses. And watch this, because double portion, the word portion is, and I showed you this last week, it represents a distributing through a puff. Like if you had fragments of paper on a table, you to blow it over. God took that anointing, it was on Moses, and then he brought the 70, he said, and he scattered that same, blew it over there like a rushing mighty wind. He blew that anointing over there on them 70. Not a watered-down, weak, diluted version of what was on Moses. No, it was a duplicate of what was on. It was the double portion. It was a picture of what he would do one day through Jesus. He didn't give us some watered-down, weakened version of the Holy Ghost. He gave him the self-same spirit that was in Jesus. Hey, in the Old Testament, you never read about the Holy Ghost. You always read about the Holy Spirit. The word Holy Ghost only shows up in the New Testament, and it only shows up after Jesus died and got up from the dead and sent the Spirit. Why? Because a ghost is a disembodied spirit. A ghost is a disembodied spirit. The reason the Holy Ghost is called the Holy Ghost is because it's the same spirit that was in Jesus. And because it was in Jesus but now is out of Jesus, it is therefore a ghost. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we are saying this is the same spirit in me that was in Jesus. That's the double portion. Now I gotta wrap this up. Watch this. 1 Samuel 10. I'm almost done. God called Saul to be king. But before he sent him, he equipped him. And so Samuel the prophet told Saul, he says, Saul, I want you to go up to the house of God. This is in verse 5. And you're going to meet a company of prophets. You'll see that right in the middle of verse 5. You're going to meet a company of prophets. And they're going to be coming down from the high place. And read that last statement in verse 5. And they shall prophesy. Now watch verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. Read with me. And thou shalt prophesy. So notice the two things that are present. The Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God. See, prophecy is the Word of God. So the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee and thou shalt what? Prophesy. When God gave the same spirit that was on Moses to the 70, what happened when the Spirit came on the 70? They prophesied. Prophesied what? The word of God. Because God had just said two verses earlier, you're going to see my word manifest. Give me 70. He filled them with his spirit and gave them his word.
Now here's this king, Saul, who's been given the anointing of the Holy Spirit and told to prophesy. Now read verse 6 with me, the whole verse out loud together. Ready? Read. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. If you want to be something you've never been before, if you want to see something you've never seen before, if you want to do something you ain't never done before, then get your heart and soul and spirit and life in line with the Spirit and Word of God. And as you come into agreement with His Word and His Spirit, you shall be turned into another man. Last verse, and I'm done. Go with me to Acts, the 4th chapter. Acts chapter number 4. Acts 4. Watch this. I'm almost there. Oh, my soul. Wait till you see this. This is the grand finale. This right here is the great crescendo. This right here is the apex. This is where it all comes together. This is it. Watch this. Acts 4. You get there, say amen. Now listen, don't get happy too early because there's a lot here to see. All right? I want you to see all that's getting ready to happen here. Everybody in Acts 4? Now, here we're going to see a manifestation of what we just read back over there with Moses and the 70, and what we saw with Saul when he began to prophesy and was turned into another man. Amen? All right, now watch this in Acts 4. And you get there, say amen. All right. Verse number 5. And it came to pass on the morrow. Oh, this is going to be so good. Give me another, a little bit more milk. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and that's the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, oh, my soul. Because, man, they had been doing some stuff. And they asked, they said, by what power? Look, I'm in verse 7. Do you see it? By what power, by what name have you done this? Where'd you get this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Ooh, so we know where his power was coming from. He said, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none of the name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now watch verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. See, they're just common folk. They shouldn't have had that power. They shouldn't have had that ability. They shouldn't be getting those results. They're not wearing the three-piece suit. They don't have the certificate on the wall. They not have the right title. The business card wasn't in the wallet. How are they doing this? When they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, read the rest, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How are we going to get the power to do what God has called us to do in these days? We've got to be with Jesus. We've got to make it all about Jesus, all about his name, all about his word, all about his kingdom, all about his love, all about his truth. And if and when God does something super through us and we get called in on the carpet, we can't say, well, if you prayed as much as I did, and if you fasted at least twice a month like I do, and pay your tithes every Sunday as I do, and stay in this word morning, noon, and night, you might get results too. No, no, no. You're trying to get glory. No, no, no. You've got to give the same answer that Peter did. The reason you've seen this thing is because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who was crucified, that God raised from the dead. We've got to make every testimony all about him. Woo! And they came out now. Don't make no mistake. Later in that chapter, they said, "Hey, we got to stop them from using this name." And they tried to stop them. So watch what happened. I'm gonna finish this soon. Go down and look what they did in verse number 17. But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. That's why our government in this world is trying to make it illegal to preach the name of Jesus. That's the principalities in high places using their power to stop the name that he knows has all power. How come you ain't reading in the paper or seeing on the news any other name, any other faith being eliminated and attempt to be exterminated? It's because the devil knows there is power in the name of Jesus. It is something that in so many companies, you can wear Nike, you can wear Reebok, you can wear Under Armour, but you coming in with a Jesus on your name, and they say, "Oh, you can't wear that here. You can't wear that here." The enemy knows his power in the name. Verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." In other words, if you think we're going to ignore God, listen to you, you judge. Read this in verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Remember, if the Holy Ghost is going to move, you got to prophesy. They said, we only going to say what we've seen and what we've heard. Now, when you come down, I'm almost done. Watch this in verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's the day we're living in. Huh? Watch this, verse number 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. So they knew that they were trying to stop the name of Jesus. And they said, and grant unto thy servants, read with me, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. In other words, remember the 70 in Numbers 11? He said, prophesy, and I translated that in Hebrew for you. And I said, and don't shut up. But you remember God telling them that? I'm trying to pull all this together. Y'all got to stay with me. You remember he said, prophesy and don't stop. They just came to the church here and they said, stop that prophesying. Stop the name of Jesus. And they said, oh no, we're not going to stop preaching what we've heard. And then they prayed and they said in verse 29, Lord, give us the boldness that we may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And we need to be praying for that. Miracles to happen, healings to happen. Here we go. I'm almost at the grand finale. So they said, Lord, they knew that the enemy was trying to get them to stop speaking the word. They said, Lord, grant us boldness to speak your word. That's what they asked for. They asked God. They said, God, give us boldness to speak your word. Oh, wait till you see this. And when they had prayed,
Read that part out loud. And when they had prayed, come on, somebody, the place was shaken. I'm all shook up. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. Read the rest with me. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. If we are ever going to speak this word with boldness and authority and power and get results, it's got to be by the filling of the Holy Ghost. These two only operate together. The word will not operate without the Spirit, and the Spirit cannot operate without the word. You've got to have both in your life.
You get filled with the Spirit of God, there ain't a person on the planet that can stop you from speaking the Word of God.
Hey, there ain't a person, there ain't a devil in hell that can resist the Word of God coming out of your mouth
when you are filled with the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. And I pray right now, God. Oh, let's ask right now for him to grant us boldness. Let's ask right now for him to grant us boldness. This world's trying to shut us up. Spiritual wickedness in high places trying to shut us up. Freedom from religion organizations trying to shut us up. Twisted politicians who don't know God trying to shut us up. ISIS beheading the prophets of God and ministers of the gospel on foreign lands trying to shut us up. The news won't even report it. Being intimidated to be politically correct. Being intimidated not to speak the truth in love. No more, no more, no more. We can't live isolated in our four walls and keep Jesus to ourselves. That's why the world's in the shape it's in now. We got to get outside these walls. Love the unlovable. Touch the untouchable. Reach the unreachable. Only by his Spirit. Only by the name of Jesus. God said, my hand's not short that it can't save. Moses, give me 70. Jesus looked at those 12 arguing and debating and not getting it done. He said, give me 70. I believe he's looking over Shreveport and Bossier and the surrounding areas and in this nation. He's saying, oh, they think I can't move. They think I can't heal. They think I can't deliver. I can bring folk out of any form of bondage. Give me 70. I'll put the same anointing I put on my son. I'll put it on the 70, and they'll go into every village, and they'll go into every home, and they'll go into every workplace, and they'll go into this nation from east to west and north to south, and they'll reach people that have never been reached. They'll turn the tide. I'm believing God for revival, for revival, for revival. You might say, Pastor, there's too much sin. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Pastor, there's too much darkness. That darkness can't comprehend the light of God when it begins to shine. I'm believing God for a revival in this land. This revival will not be ushered in by the religious crowd. It will not be ushered in by those highfalutin that are sitting in their seats and worried about their titles. This revival is coming through a 70. They're people that don't even look like Christians. They don't look like preachers. You ain't gonna know what hit you because they will have showed up in your life and you didn't know they were coming because they look like you. They went and worked out the same place you work out. You saw them at the soccer field and boom, next thing you know, you've been struck with the word of God and the power of his Spirit. His love knows no bounds. His power knows no limitations. Hallelujah. I'm believing God for a revival that's going to take place not on the back of a pastor, not on the back of an evangelist, but on the back of the 70 who will bear the same anointing of Jesus Christ and take the gospel where it is needed into the streets. In Jesus' name. How bad do you want to speak his word with power? How bad do you want to be used by God? How hungry are you? How thirsty are you? How desperate are you? Are you too proud to beg? I'm telling you right now, let's ask him right where you are. Whether you need to get on your feet, stay in your seat, find an altar right where you are, whatever position you need to get in of expectation, let's ask him right now, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me with your spirit, fill me with your power, use me, God. I want to be used by you. Give me words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of discernment, words of counsel, words that the enemy will not be able to gainsay nor resist. Use my prayers to heal the sick. Use my prayers to bring those broken back to restoration, Lord. Use me, God. Use me, Lord. Use me to bring wholeness to people that are broken. Use me to bring good news to those that haven't heard it. Use me, Lord. I want to be used. I want to be used. How hungry are you to be used by God? Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your spirit. You said if we ask for bread, you won't give stone. Let's stand together. Just stretch your hands to heaven. I want to feel this place shake as we ask God to fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us with his power. Fill us with his power. I receive your power, Lord. I receive your power, Lord. Say it. I receive your power, Lord. Grant me boldness. Say that. Grant me boldness. Grant me boldness to speak in the name of Jesus. I heard of a lady the other night that was in a washateria, and one of the 70 showed up. And a washateria, one of the 70 showed up. One of the 70 dispatched right from here and told one of the 70 she'd been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. One of the 70 prayed for her right there in the washateria. Man, am I getting this right? Am I getting this right? And came back and testified after further testing. They couldn't find the cancer. Is that what happened? He just amplified that testimony. They didn't know that she had cancer. They just went and prayed. The Holy Spirit told them to pray. They said, can we pray for you? And they prayed on the woman. They didn't know she had cancer. Goes back and gets tested, and the cancer was there. They couldn't find the cancer. She didn't come to church. The church went to her. Come on. Will anybody pray tonight and say, Lord, just use me. Just use me, Lord. Fill me so I can be used. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, not for our name, not for our glory, but for yours. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He is the Aleph Tav, the first and the last. He's the creator of all things. He's the lamb that was slain before the worlds were formed. You saw my sin before I did. But yet you sent your Son to pay the price, to redeem me from darkness, from bondage, from a desperate place. You took me from this world and redeemed me into your kingdom. A kingdom of love. A kingdom of truth. A kingdom of power. And you liberated me. You made me free from every hold, from every sin, from every demon. You even gave me power over death, that even the grave could not contain me. You called me by name. You know me intimately. You know me personally. You knew what I brought with me when I answered the call. But you did not reject me. I was a bruised reed and a smoking flax, but you accepted me as your beloved and called me the apple of your eye. And you're the lover of my soul. And I receive your love that goes beyond my knowledge. A love that's made me free. A love that's fulfilled my greatest need. I know I'm accepted with you. You came out of that grave so I could come out of mine. And you filled me with your spirit so I could preach your word and share your love and be the light to reach those in darkness and have the power to break others from the yoke of the devil. So right now I ask you to forgive me of my past and to make me brand new, to fill me with the Holy Ghost that I might have boldness to walk out of this place tonight as the 70, join heirs with Christ, heirs of your spirit, heirs of your power, the double portion on me, sent to do your will. So in the name of Jesus, I will not fear. I will not be intimidated. I will speak your word. I will use your name. I will pray. And every place I enter, your kingdom goes with me. Use my life to advance your kingdom and to bring yourself glory. Use me to show this world that your arm is not shortened, that it cannot save, and that you will perform your word. I receive by faith the power of your spirit, and I make a decision to speak your word in every place. I will prophesy, and I will not stop. In Jesus' name, I am the 70. I am the 70. I am the 70. Somebody shout in this place. If you need prayer for any reason, we've got people right here ready to pray for you. They're prayed up to pray with you. Go be the 70. Bring somebody in this place. Go do the work of the kingdom. You have been saved, called, equipped, and sent. Say it one more time. You've been called, equipped, and sent. Father, I pray now, use our lives to advance your kingdom and to bring yourself glory. As the 70, we go now to do your business. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.